Chapter 1. Last day of this assignment. Jake nodded silently, but didn't look at Dan Shepard, the blonde man at his side and his partner for this job. Instead, Jake's eyes were busily sliding over the crowd that had gathered around the hotel entrance where the client stood answering questions. It was supposed to look like a spur-of-the-moment thing, their client stopping to answer a few of the many questions shot at him by the press who always followed him on visits like this. It was supposed to make him seem more accessible and less the dangerous dictator he was. But it wasn't spur-of-the-moment. Jake, Dan, and the rest of the security team had been told that he was going to stop and answer questions and that they weren't to rush him into his vehicle and whisk him away as would be the norm. Instead, they were to let him do his thing and just keep an eye out for trouble. Jake was doing just that, keeping an eye out, looking for any possible threat.
Damn good thing it's almost over, too, Dan added grimly. One more day of watching out for this arrogant, demanding prick, and I might be tempted to kill him myself.
That comment made Jake's mouth twitch with amusement. Their client was definitely an annoying, arrogant, and demanding bastard. But then, what else could you expect from a foreign dictator? Besides, working as professional protection in Ottawa meant that a lot of the people they were sent to guard were arrogant, demanding, or annoying. At least on the outside. Some were a different case inside and just acting up out of fear or stress. But not all. This client was as arrogant, demanding, and annoying inside as he acted on the outside. But they were hired to do a job and you couldn't like every client, he thought philosophically.
He flies out at 8, right? Then we're done? Dan asked.
Jake nodded, but his eyes had narrowed on a man in the crowd. The fellow wore a baseball cap and jean jacket. He was also eyeballing their client. Of course, most people there were, but there was just something about ball cap boy that was raising alarms in Jake's head.
4 more hours, then, Dan muttered, glancing at his wristwatch. 4 more hours, and counting, he added dryly. Want to go for a drink afterward? I know I need one after a week with this bastard. Where are you going?
Jake heard the question, but didn't stop to answer. He was hurrying through the crowd toward Ball Cap Boy, every muscle in his body straining to get there in time, as the man pulled a gun from the waistband at the back of his jeans and began to level it at their client.
That was one hell of a catch, Dan said,
slapping Jake on the back 6 hours later, as they headed out of Protection One's swanky offices and approached the elevators. Their 4 hours of work had turned into 6 thanks to Jake stopping and apprehending the assassin in the baseball cap. First, there had been the police and all their questions to deal with, and then they'd had to fill in their boss, Hank Latham, on what had taken place. Now they were finally leaving work, 2 hours later than expected.
I don't know how you did it, Dan continued,
shaking his head as the elevator doors opened and they stepped on board.
Hell, I didn't even track the guy as a problem, but I sure as hell couldn't have moved as fast as you did. You flew through that crowd.
Adrenaline, Jake muttered, glancing at his watch.
You gotta love adrenaline,
Dan commented, slapping him again as Jake pushed the button for the main floor. As the doors closed, he commented,
So we get a couple of play days before the next assignment. Want to go for a drink to celebrate?
Can't. I'm meeting someone for dinner, and I'm already late, Jake said, leaning back against the elevator wall and crossing his arms. He wasn't really sorry he had to decline. He liked Dan. He was a good guy, but Jake wasn't much of a drinker. Alcohol did little for him.
Someone like a lady?
Dan asked with a grin.
Someone like sort of family, Jake said evenly. Sort of family?
Dan prodded. Jake hesitated and then said,
Yeah, you know, that older lady who isn't really a relation but your parents make you call aunt.
Ah, Dan grimaced.
Yeah, I have one of those myself, a lifelong friend of my mom's. She and her hubby hang with my parents all the time and she's been Aunt Betty most of my life. Daddy old Biddy now, but good-hearted.
Yeah, this is the same deal, Jake said, ignoring the twinge of guilt the words caused. The lady in question was old as hell, but Dottie old Biddy,
didn't exactly fit her.